Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Ashley.
And Ashley?
Ashley.
That would be a little weird.
Yeah, nobody would.
It's kind of weird that it's like a woman's name.
I mean, it happens. I'm sure there are other women's names that are.
Or men. I know.
There are men named Ashley, yeah. Ashley Cooper.
That's true.
Safety, yeah.
Who am I to say that he has a woman's name? He would destroy me.
Yeah, I got
to
take you out big time, so. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Everything available there at the restaurants, those are available online for you to be brewing them right at home. Pip Printing and Signs, the slogan says reliable service for every business need. What that means is if you need to find a way to get people through the door at your business, Pip Printing and Signs has a solution for you. 30 years of experience. They offer an incredible supply amount of different printing options, graphics, signage, envelopes, forms. It's all right there at their website, pipridgeland.com. They are Bulldog-owned and operated, and the best part is when you call them and you say, hey, I want to do business with you guys, and I heard about you on Thunder and Lightning, 10% of that sale is going straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. So you can help your business and help Mississippi State all with one phone call. That number is 601-499-5216. You'll talk to Camden Baker. He's the owner of the company. You're not talking, that's not the office phone number. That's his phone number. You're going to talk directly to him. He'll get you taken care of. If you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, whatever it is you're looking for. To show off the fact that you support Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or we can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, you need to make sure you've got a trip to Restaurant Tyler lined up for you. 4 o'clock first pitch on Saturday means dinner at Restaurant Tyler can happen for you, and I would suggest that it does. In fact, I would suggest you take that crisp $100 bill and buy whatever it is Robbie had lined up for you the other day with a couple of appetizers, big old steak, a couple of desserts. You might need them after these two baseball games. I'll be totally honest with you. So I'm just saying.
I was about to eat my feelings at Restaurant Tyler and Two Brothers. Had this going south.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway. Make sure you got a trip to Restaurant Tyler. The best meal in town. It's brunch, lunch, or dinner. It's at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. They are here to offer you a choice. You can deal with the big corporate banks and all of the runaround that they give you, or you can deal with a community bank that's going to give you the same kind of financial flexibility, but a lot better service. I think that's an easy choice. I like to do business with the people that I know. And you can do that with Priority One Bank. The website's PriorityOneBank.com. Find the location nearest you. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. When I tell you that this podcast nearly didn't happen, when I tell you that I texted Robbie Falk, who's muted, there he is, and I told him, if they lose this game, if they want a no-show, I'm going to no-show too.
I have not, seriously. I mean this. Mm-hmm. I have not heard you that angry about a Mississippi State sporting event ever. Now, I haven't been around you for all of them, but since I've been your friend.
Yeah.
That usually you're just like, eh, oh, well.
The first
like
half they, broke me. And if they
the
had
first lost, half broke Brian.
If we had done, I would have had to do sports talk one way or the other, and that would have been a classic episode. But if we had had to do this podcast, I would have been yelling. There have been a lot of yelling at you. Not that it was your fault, just that you're the one here.
I'll just take the brunt.
Was steaming at the end of that first half. And this is Brian Haydad, not Brian Haydad that covers Mississippi State. This is Brian Haydad that cheers for Mississippi State talking right now. When I tell you that when they were down 7 at the half, I could have broken my television. I was so mad. I was like, is this really how this is going to end? This is really what we're going to do here? 5 straight losses to end the season? I swear to God. And I'm just sitting there thinking, like this podcast was going to be, why are we Mississippi State fans? It was, yeah. That was what the podcast was going to be. It's going to be like, what do we have? A whole bunch of we hope lined up with Jeff Lebby. Neither basketball team is going to make it. Baseball, ha! I mean, that's where I was headed. So thank
you,
Chris Jans. Thank you for making that not the case.
You know what's crazy is I was just as frustrated as everybody else in the first half. I just did not – like if there was something about it, I didn't really panic with the
you
first
told me
half.
To calm down.
I'm a person that a lot of times – I react irrationally, but it just felt like State had played too badly in the first half to do it again in the second. Mm-hmm. Because we've seen this team in the last few games do this, come out, start poorly. They did it against Texas A&M. The fact that they were down 7, it gave me a little bit of hope that the second half is going to look good. And they showed it in the first like 2 minutes of the second half, the effort level really jumped up a tick.
You want to know why they won? I'll tell you why. I was watching the game.
Stop watching TV.
No. I was watching it, and my cable, MetroCast, started acting up. It was like, you know how like when it starts raining on DirecTV, it starts getting all staticky and like glitchy? It started doing that. It's like, oh, what is this?
I thought you got a Fire Stick.
That's the thing. I switched. I was like, all right, let me switch over to the Fire Stick, and I'll just watch it on there. And we haven't cut the cord yet, but I watched it from there. So when I flipped, State was down 4. By the time I got in, they had tied it, and then they took the lead and went from there. So you're welcome.
You know, I never really thought about this until we talked to Rams. We went at the SC tournament. You get to go in the locker room.
The locker room, yeah. It's awesome. Yeah,
talk to whoever you want.
Yeah.
You know, I could pull Trey Ford to the side if I want to talk to him. But I could talk to Isaac.
Yeah.
What did your brother say to D Boss on the sidelines at that?
I was you should have had the chance. Do it tomorrow.
I might do it tomorrow if they win. Rams and Cam said, I asked them like what was the key of the second half. They both said their defense.
I agreed.
And you don't think about that initially because you're like, well, you only gave up 29 points in the first half. You turned them over 12 times. But this team feeds off of its defense, and they have not been great this year. I mean, they haven't been what they were last year. And I really felt like the plays that they made on defense, Josh Hubbard, if you think back of that steal by Josh Hubbard and dish to Sean Jones, I think it was for a dunk,
mm-hmm.
those kind of plays really get this team into a groove. And I think – what Ram said is like their defense was not playing with the intensity that it needed to in the first half. And if you think back at that first half, they did go through spurts where the defense was not guarding well. They weren't playing with the same intensity. And he said it kind of made them stagnant on offense. And I think that's what we saw in the second half is a team that was much more in a groove offensively because of what they were doing on the defensive side. And the guards won them this game. They didn't have hardly anything on the offensive end from Tolu Smith or Jimmy Bell. Tolu had 8 points, and I think people gave Tolu a really hard time, and you know, rightfully so. He missed 7 shots in the paint, but the effort in the second half was strong from Tolu. He had 12 rebounds in the second half. They flipped the rebounds on its head. They went from losing 23-13 in the rebounding margin to winning 23-13 in the second half. And Tolu was a big part of that. So I do think everybody had their part, but the guards went and won this game. Josh Hubbard, Rams Davis, and Shaquille Moore, what they did in the second half won them the ball game.
You mentioned the defense. You know, and you said only 29 points, and you're correct in the first half. But LSU shot 46% from the field in the first half. Yep. And they would have been up by a lot more if they hadn't turned the ball over. And those turnovers were not as much a result of great defense from Mississippi State as just sloppy play from LSU. LSU could have easily been up 12, 13, 14 points. But in the second half, they held LSU, I think, to 29% shooting in that half and just absolutely dominated. And you're right. Defense led to offense, and State goes from shooting 27%, I think, to 52% in the second half because they were getting looks in transition. They were getting easier shots off. And, of course, Tolu Smith, who I don't know what the deal is with Tolu Smith, all right, but there's obviously a deal, all right, because this is three straight games he has not scored until the second half. And for State to have won without him doing that, is almost impossible to believe, but they did it. So thankfully, that's the case. You mentioned the guards. Since the calendar turned to March, I know State's 1-2 in March, but Deshaun Davis has found his shooting stroke. And I thought he and Shaq Moore were the keys to that run. You know, Hubbard was struggling. He was getting to the line, which I thought was key for him to at least stay engaged and stay on the score sheet and give you some points. But in that run that got State the lead, Davis and Moore were the key for Mississippi State. This is the story of State's season, is who steps up alongside Hubbard and Smith. Now, Smith didn't really step up today at all, but Moore and Davis gave you some key shots. They combined for 21 points.
I think what we saw is, and you know, LSU is not an NCAA tournament team, but they have played – much better basketball in SEC play. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if they're a caliber NCAA tournament team, like from a roster standpoint, but they're a good team.
Yeah.
But I think what you've seen is Mississippi State can win without Tolu Smith on his game. Mm-hmm. Mississippi State can win, I think, in the NCAA tournament without him scoring 15 points, you know. But you would much rather him do that. It's just nice to see other players stepping up. And this has kind of been the case for Mississippi State all year. Like you said, they've needed other players to step up aside from Hubbard. Because we saw the first half, Hubbard was 1-for-7 or whatever in the first half. He started 1-for-9. Right. Mississippi State's offense just was kind of looking around for somebody to do something. And Hubbard started to hit shots, but I thought Deshaun Davis really sparked that run for them by what he was doing on offense. He comes out of the gates after halftime, hit a three-pointer. Shaq Moore hit a big three, got some runners in the lane. I think Shaq Moore has just become a really smart basketball player.
Yes.
He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He had zero turnovers in 17 minutes. In control. He doesn't take bad shots, almost to his detriment sometimes. Like, sometimes you're saying shoot it because he's become a more efficient shooter. Mm-hmm. But that teardrop in the lane, that runner in the lane, mm-hmm. has become, you know, his go-to. And then he hit a big three. Those three hit big three-pointers down the stretch. And that's what the State has to have, that they've got to hit shots from outside. And Tolu's really got to become more efficient inside the paint. But we did see that they can win ball games without Tolu Smith showing up because he just didn't on offense. He just wasn't there.
Right.
And that's okay. You're going to have bad nights, but he's got to get going again. For Mississippi State to hit its full potential, he's got to be the Tolu Smith that, you know, we all know about. And for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the injury or what, he's not there right now, but State's able to survive and looks like punch their ticket without him playing his best.
Yeah, and that's the most important thing. I guess we haven't mentioned it yet, that almost all bracketologists at this point agree Mississippi State is in and in, not in the play-in game, in the field of 64. I looked at bracketmatrix.com, which is a compilation of everybody's bracket, and they have State as the lowest-rated 10 seed right now playing, if that's correct, and they're playing the highest rated 7C, which I think that's how the NCAA does things, then they would be matched up with St. Mary's. So if that's, you know, again, that's just a consensus opinion of all the brackets. State was listed on 92 out of 96 brackets. I don't know how many of them had not updated at that point. Seated as high as 9 and as low as 12 on some brackets. So,
I mean, where do you think this team is?
I think they're a 10.
I tend to agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Which is what you want. I think if you
that's a good spot.
You don't want to be. I would rather be a 10 than an 8.
It's a good little spot. Yeah. That's a good little spot.
It's a little spot for them. Yeah. So
no, that it really is. Like that's to be out of the play-in game, but also be away from the number one seed.
Yeah,
would be
like
a really good position.
One of the brackets I looked at is the Delphi bracket, and the reason I'm looking at that, if you listen to Brandon Walker's podcast, you know that that's their bracket because it's a high school kid. Or it's like a high school bracketology club, but they are accurate enough that they have gotten some national respect. They had State as a 10 playing Wisconsin in Indianapolis with Creighton as the 2 seed. And I was like, man, as seeding goes, that's not bad. Wisconsin is not an unbeatable team. They play that rock fight kind of game that State wants to play anyway. And then Creighton's good. But I mean, I don't think that they're unbeatable. So that would be an interesting matchup if that bracket were to hold. And of course, State has another game to play on Friday. They play at noon again against Tennessee, the number one seed. Interesting that State's already beaten this team, but I don't think anybody's giving State a chance to win. Tennessee has a lot to play for. They could wrap up a one seed with an SEC tournament title, and plus they have a little extra motivation. Mississippi State beat them once already this year. Very tough matchup for the Bulldogs on Friday.
It really is. I mean, I don't know because State's not playing great basketball right now.
Right.
I mean, let's just be honest. Tennessee is. Tennessee's playing really good. I mean, they can defend. They can score as well as anybody in the country. They have the best player in the country, in my opinion, Dalton Knecht, who's just a matchup nightmare.
Right.
And he absolutely went off against Mississippi State in the second half. I mean, State played a flawless defensive half against Tennessee in that first half and was in the fight of their life in the second half after leading by 13 points in the first half. It's going to be tough, man. I mean, Tennessee's going to have to have a off night, which I'll be honest with you. I've watched all the games so far, at least some form or fashion. I've watched, you know, a couple of, you know, a few minutes of each game.
Right.
The rims at Bridgestone are like super tight. If you get rim, there's a good chance you're going to miss. Like you're not getting a soft bounce on these rims here. So maybe State has that in their favor that Tennessee will have trouble shooting. That's pretty much what you got to hope for. Mm-hmm. But you never know, man. That's why you play these games, and you know tournament play can get tricky. So we'll see what happens.
I saw an interesting like coincidental stat that in the last, I think, 5-6 years, something like that, State is 1-1 in every SEC tournament appearance, and they have been eliminated by either Tennessee or Alabama every time.
Yeah,
that's
fun. They're having to play like the 2 or the 1 seed almost every time.
They're never getting, they haven't gotten a double bye in that time frame, and yeah, they always end up playing one of those two teams. So we'll see how it goes for the Bulldogs.
I found it funny, Brian. We come to the stadium today, and I get there and Sock's there, Stefan's there when we first get in, and Frommer, I think, and somebody else was like already in the
Benjamin.
No, Benjamin was with me. Benjamin walked in with me. So they're already, a couple of people were already in the stadium like an hour and a half before tip.
Yeah.
And Tennessee's in there shooting around or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they got kicked out and they wouldn't let us go in there. They're like, no, they're having a private shoot around. I'm like, what could we possibly be looking at here that everyone doesn't already know? They played 31 games to this point. Everybody knows Dalton Knecht is the best player in the SEC. What is there some kind of secret?
I wanted you to tweet that, you know, like, hey, just happened to get a look at Tennessee's practice and Mississippi State really gonna need to focus on this Knecht. He can play.
There's this white guy that's like 6'6".
He's good.
He can shoot it. I don't know if you guys have seen him.
He's good. On to baseball real quick. Mississippi State LSU starts up today. Got the news that I think we were expecting, Robbie, that Nate Doan is not going to be part of the weekend rotation. Evan Sieri will go to Friday night, and then everything else remains as same. Kyle Steven on Saturday, Gerangelo on Sunday. Surprised? I'm not surprised that Dome's not pitching. Are you surprised that they didn't move guys up and they're just going to let Sieri take the Friday night or what?
I think it's just the whole, you know, don't want to get him off their I think that's kind of been like Lemonis' thing. Like, he doesn't want to get him off schedule if he can help it. So, I mean, let's be honest, like, you know, it's going to be tough on Friday night. Luke Coleman's been really good. You're going to have to pitch it extremely well. He hadn't hardly given up any earned runs at this point. So, you know, this game, I'm not saying throw this game, but he's not a Paul Skeens by any means right. either, but pretty darn good.
Very good pitcher.
I think you're good leaving your guys on Saturday and Sunday and seeing what happens there. But yeah. Hopefully Dome gets back soon. And yeah. they really need they him need because him. He's been good.
Yeah. So State, since we've last met, got a walk-off win over New Orleans in 11 innings. 2-1 was the final score in that one. Not the most exciting offensive performance for the Bulldogs, but that's kind of been the scenario for State this year. The hitting has just not really been there. And now they're going to take on an LSU team that is an outstanding pitching team. Robbie, runs are just going to be at a premium this weekend for the Bulldogs. That's why I'm just not very confident in this team going into this weekend, because I don't know that they're going to pitch it well enough to win 3-2, 4-3 kind of games. I feel like LSU will be able to put 6-7 runs up, which isn't, you know, terrible. And if that's the case, I don't know that State can match them.
It's going to be tough. This offense right now is just not great. They scored in 3 innings out of 20 in those 2 games in Biloxi.
That is correct, yeah.
Oof. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know what the problem is. I think Hunter Hines is a big reason because he's in the middle of the lineup. He's right behind Dakota Jordan. Mm-hmm. Him not being able to make them pay right now is hurting him.
I can't. I mean, the people are walking Jordan to get to Hines. I mean, that's craziness when you really.
And they had 3 or 4 times on Wednesday, just from the little I was keeping up with it, that he came up with the guys in scoring position or
bases
whatever.
Would have one out into a double play.
Couldn't come through. And might have had another double play.
So, and then, of course, you know, had the opportunity to win the game on Tuesday night and ground it out there as well. So he's pressing right now for sure. State desperately needs him to get back to his normal form. And if he can't, it just adds to the problems that this team already has. So we'll see how it goes for State. It's going to be a very tough weekend for the Bulldogs as they open SEC play with the LSU Tigers, the reigning national champions. Let's move into the last part of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner wherever you are going to be this weekend. If you're cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Head out and grab you some steaks and put them out there on the grill. So many great cuts available to you at your local grocery stores and meat markets and butcher shops. Don't just, you know, ribeyes. I love a ribeye, man, but don't just settle for that. Look around. Get you some unusual cuts. One of our great listeners, Chad Mask, tweeted at us last night, cooked up a massive tri-tip. That thing looked fantastic. Ooh. Oh, it looks so good. And I want to remind everybody once again that when it comes to tri-tip, I needed no prior knowledge of that. I already knew everything there was to know about the beautiful cut that is tri-tip. So, beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Robbie, I'm about 30 minutes away from a trip to Two Brothers with the Stallion. We are headed there tonight. I forgot. I wasn't really thinking, but it's Lent, so he can't go. We can't go to Two Brothers on Friday. They do have some seafood on the menu, but we're going to order 9 shrimp tacos. So let's go tonight. We're going on Thursday.
Are you taking part in Lent?
Yeah, I don't eat meat. I go to Obie's almost every Friday, grab some catfish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's funny that's like Like Lent, you get to eat
catfish. I've always thought that, Robbie.
Well, yeah, hold on. I'm so taking
my
Lent.
Punishment is I get to eat seafood.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm actually taking part in
like
Lent
you have
today.
To eat ground turkey or something. You know, like what are we doing here?
I'll take the large platter of fried catfish, please.
Yeah, can I just get the seafood platter? Throw an extra lobster tail on there for me. I'm a good cat. Thank you.
It's been a tough day.
Yeah. So if I'll be at Two Brothers, hopefully you will be there this weekend as well. Enjoy some great smoked Southern soul food this weekend at Two Brothers. Where are we? Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 49 years. 49 years of experience, 49 years of taking care of their customers, 49 years of providing service after the sale. You don't stay open for 49 years unless you do those things. So if you need a new copy or a new printer, new computers, you can trust that Advantage Business Systems will sell you a great product. And if something does go wrong, they're going to be there to take care of it really, really quickly. A lot of times the same day because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. This weekend, if you're headed to Starkville, make sure you're headed to Maroon & Co. to check out their incredible selection of Mississippi State merchandise, stuff you cannot get anywhere else, including Bulldog Initiative logo wear. Nobody else has it. They are the exclusive providers. You want to check out the new Horn Legend quarter zips and polos that are just now on the shelves. They are fantastic, and of course, they benefit the Bulldog Initiative. But don't just stop there. Grab some other stuff. Grab some state script. Time to get some of that stuff. Robbie was tweeting about the state script today. We had some great news on that front. So,
my favorite basketball player of all time was wearing a state script jacket today.
Mm-hmm.
So
there you go.
If Timmy Bowers thinks it's great,
it's great.
I don't know what else to tell you.
There you go. This weekend, before you head over to Duty Noble, make sure you head to Maroon & Co. We got a SEC preview. SEC spring preview to get to today. Today is the Auburn Tigers. And Robbie, when I think about Auburn last year, what I think of is a team that did basically exactly what I thought they were going to do, and their fans were furious about it.
Yeah. We thought they were going to be like maybe a little bit forgiving because they just had a disaster of a head coach.
Right. First year, you know, Freeze will win. Just give him some time and nope.
But nope. We should have known better, shouldn't we? Like, that's kind of Auburn fans.
Yeah. And look, the last game of the year, the Iron Bowl, like that's a freak of nature kind of thing, right? I mean, if they had won that game, I think everybody has been super pumped. But
I would simply turn to dust had that happened to Mississippi State. And then it was like Alabama.
I was alive when the kick blew back, and I'm still here. It'll be okay. What I will say about Auburn is this, before we get to this interview, I cannot believe they're going to try to go with Peyton Thorne again. I don't know what they got to see from him to know that that's not going to work.
It really is crazy that was their decision, like in the offseason, like we're just going to stick with this.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was fairly obvious to all of us this year when we saw Peyton Thorne play that he had very – like low ceiling, and you know he wasn't terrible. Like I don't think he hurt them as much as people thought, but he definitely has a ceiling, and it's kind of tough to imagine Hugh Freeze going out there and getting the wide receivers that he got out of the high school class, three five stars, whatever it was, and he was in the game for Ryan Williams, and not upgrading at quarterback in year two. It was baffling.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what's going on there. So let's get some more information. Let's talk to Matt Cohen. He covers the Tigers for AL.com. Got him on the phone to talk about Auburn, what is going on there this spring, and what may be going on there this season. Next stop on the SEC spring previews is the Auburn Tigers. Matt Cohen joins me right now from AL.com. And Matt, I my first question, it may not be totally an Auburn question, but, you know, with the big bad witch gone from Tuscaloosa, shall we say, what's the mood down there in Auburn?
So I think I have two immediate thoughts on that. And it's one is you kind of sense, and Hugh Freeze has talked about this a little bit, like this opening, so to speak, is that this like this dynasty that you have up at Alabama, obviously it's not gone. Like, Kalen DeBoer is a great coach. It's still Alabama. They still won championships before Nick Saban was there. But you sense this opening that, like, there's a chance for Auburn to kind of play catch up within the state a little bit, where it's lost the state for, you know, 17 years in a row. And well, not in a row, but, you know, that the 17-year time frame of Saban. But
right.
So I think on one hand, you sense that opening. On the other hand, I think it's an interesting spot because you brought – I think part of the idea with bringing in Hugh Freeze was that he was a guy who has shown he can beat Nick Saban. And he almost beat Nick Saban again this season. And then now the guy that you brought him in because he could beat him is gone. So does that still apply anymore? Because it's obviously a very different coaching staff, a totally different scheme. All that kind of stuff will be very different up in a Tuscaloosa. So interested to see how that changes the dynamic of the rivalry going forward, because it'll be weird without Saban, honestly, like like against anyone to watch an Alabama game and see not Nick Saban coaching that team.
Yeah. I think that goes for college football, not just down there and all.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, year one for Hugh Freeze kind of went the way I thought it was going to go. I thought they would struggle at times. I thought, you know, they'd get back to a bowl game and you sort of go from there. Do Auburn fans agree with that statement, that it kind of went the way it should have gone?
I think the reasonable fan would say that. there's obviously, you
what
know,
are
the,
those?
The in the SEC, does that exist?
Yeah.
I think that, but generally speaking, I think that is kind of the way people thought the season would go. This was just not a roster that was built because of the, you know, just poor recruiting under Harsin. It was just not a roster that was built to be competitive in year one under Hugh Freeze. And I think they had like 40 new players on that team. It wasn't the right group of, and that's not anything to do with, you know, like, you know, any sort of like referendum. It's just year one and the coaching staff is hard. So I think getting to a bowl game at all was a step forward for that team, and frankly was a good sign of some sort of an upward trajectory in terms of just the performance on the field, just because you hadn't been to a bowl game the year prior, obviously. The flip side of that would be you had a chance to beat Alabama if you can not allow 4th and 31. You lost to New Mexico State. Like, there were just some like things that really could have changed the course of that season that you were very close to having, but you were not obviously good enough to, you know, make that play against Alabama, or just to not, you know, lay an egg against New Mexico State. So just stuff like that is obviously what's really detrimental. And I think because that came at the end of the season and then, you know, looking terrible in the bowl game, that leaves a taste in people's mouth. So I think that will stick as the lasting memory of year one. But as a whole, to get to a bowl game in the at all, I think is a step forward.
How surprised are you that Peyton Thornton is still QB1 as we sit here going into the spring?
This feels crazy, I think, but I'm actually not surprised at all. And I think while Auburn seems frustrated with him in the bowl game, there never seemed to be a lot of impetus from from the team to actually pursue someone with any sort of, like, you know, commitment out of the portal at all. You're bringing in Walker White, who is who's the first like significant Hugh Freeze high school recruit at the quarterback position. He's not going to be the guy year one, you think, but I think you'd like to see him take steps forward just to be ready, because he might be the guy as a sophomore, and I think that's kind of the plan, is that he'll be the guy as a sophomore. So it's kind of, I don't want to say it's like a bridge year, but it is like you get him ready because he is the guy for the future. Auburn. I personally, in my own opinion, can't figure out why, but Auburn loves Peyton Thorne. Like, they have given him about 8,000 chances, and I think they're going to continue giving him chances. And I don't get it, but there's a reason why I'm sitting here writing stories and not coaching football. But I don't really understand why they're doing that, but I'm also not surprised by it given the way they've talked about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Why will Auburn be better offensively this season?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can guarantee that they will be better offensively this season. If they are better, it's because they brought in a lot better wide receivers. To bring in Perry Thompson, Cam Coleman, 2 5-star high school guys, you're obviously expecting a lot out of freshmen in that regard. But if they can be that improvement, given how talented they are, if Auburn's offense is better, that's going to be why. Because actual targets for Peyton Thorne to throw to. And the theory from Hugh Freeze has long been, and again, I don't know if I agree with this necessarily, but the theory has been that when Peyton Thorne was at his best at Michigan State, he had several NFL weapons around him, and Keon Coleman, Kenneth Walker, guys like that. And you're putting a lot of expectations on freshmen if you expect, you know, Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson to just be NFL guys right from day one. But I think they're talented enough to eventually be that. So you have to hope that they can do that quickly. If that happens, I think they will be better offensively. The offensive line seems to be a little bit improved, but still definitely a question mark. I think that's probably your biggest question mark going into this season, honestly. So you just need to see kind of steps forward in that regard. The problem is, I don't think it's easy to say that step forward will happen. And if it doesn't happen, I don't see this offense being better, and it's hard to say for sure that it will be better.
Who are the impact transfers that you're going to be having an eye on this spring?
So one would be Percy Lewis coming over from Mississippi State, offensive lineman. They just needed offensive lineman in the worst way. So he's a guy to watch regardless of, you know, if he succeeds or fails, just because you need him to be successful for this team. If he's successful, they need someone to keep Peyton Thorne upright. Jaron Thompson, a safety coming over from Texas, so yeah, that they like a lot, and will have an immediate role right away as Auburn's losing basically its entire secondary. Laquan Robinson is a name that I have done a little bit of research on learning about, the number one junior college safety, also came over to Auburn. The same thing, could be probably a potential starter right away, just because of the fact that, again, Auburn lost its two outside cornerbacks and its two starting safeties. So there's just a lot of secondary holes to fill. They're planning to fill those mostly with youth and transfers. So I think those are the three that kind of step out right away to me. Offensively, Robert Lewis, wide receiver coming over from a Georgia State, probably more of a slot guy. I don't think he was a 1,000-yard receiver last year, but he was pretty close to it. So just, you know, some more speed there. The other transfer that I think is, I don't know if it's necessarily an impact transfer, but I'm interested in, they brought over Sam Jackson from Cal, who was the quarterback there, but they brought him over as a wide receiver. And I don't think he's played wide receiver in college at all. He did it in high school. So that's just one that just fascinates me. I'm not sure how that's going to end up working out, if it will be anything. He and Peyton Thorne are good friends. They were high school teammates in Naperville, just outside of Chicago. So that's what I'm just interested in, but I don't really know how much of an impact that'll be right away.
What is I said earlier, I thought that the reasonable expectation for Auburn in year one was what they did. What's the reasonable expectation for year two? And then what will the Auburn fans expect in year two?
I think a reasonable expectation is have a winning record in year two, like get the 7 wins. He didn't do that this season. Like getting the 7 wins would be, I think, a step forward. And that's, to me, also a reasonable expectation is to see a step forward, even if it's a small step. But getting the 7 wins, having a winning record, Auburn hasn't had a winning record in a few seasons. I think that would be your expectation. The schedule is not necessarily easy next season, and especially as the SEC gets even more difficult, adding Texas and Oklahoma. Auburn, I believe their addition to the schedule is they get a home game against Oklahoma. So we'll see how good actually Oklahoma ends up being. I think between Oklahoma and Texas, I guess you'd rather have Oklahoma on your schedule, especially, you know, in Auburn. Also, obviously, Auburn's two protected games are both Alabama and Georgia. So, and they will go to both Alabama and Georgia, which, you know, probably you assume they lose both those games. So you just they have a really tough schedule coming up this season. I think 7 wins is a reasonable expectation. The unreasonable expectation for Auburn that you will see fans have is that, like, oh, you brought in this incredible recruiting class, all these 5-star talents and wide receiver, the Freeze 4, I guess now it is, with the easily the best wide receiver class in school history, loaded up on the defensive line. So you see kind of that youth movement that if that can make an impact quickly, I think that unreasonable expectation would be to expect them to be stars right away. And Auburn goes wins in 8, 9 games. I don't think I see that, but I think that would be your more like your very, very optimist view of the team.
We shall see. Interesting with Auburn, and I had this the same way last week when I talked to your AL.com colleague, Nick Alvarez. Not going to have you for opponent previews this year. It's so weird with Auburn and Alabama not being on the Mississippi State schedule. So we'll take this opportunity to talk to you. I appreciate it. Matt Cohen, AL.com, man. Thanks for your time.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks to Matt. Appreciate his time. And
I've been hanging out with Matt the last 2 days.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of these guys you're interviewing, if you run into Jordan Hill, you let him know I'm going to be calling him in 2 weeks. I don't know if he's there.
They just got beat. No, they won. They won.
Okay, well, they're playing tonight? Yeah. If you see him,
they beat Missouri.
I'll be calling him.
I don't know if he's down here or not.
I don't know the Florida. Who's Florida's on three guy? Do you know? Zach Albo.
Well, Keith Niebuhr's there, but he's not.
He's a national.
He does recruiting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't met their own three guys.
All right, well, we'll find out. We'll get some of these guys in there. Next week, we're going to do three when I come back. We're going to catch Florida, Georgia, and Kentucky when we come
back. I'm going to be sad. I'm going to be sad. We're not going to have Thunder and Lightning.
That's the other thing to say is, guys, I'm headed out on vacation, and nearly got an early day on that, but Chris Jans delivered. Robbie and I will be back on March 24th. That'll be our next podcast. So I want you guys to have a great week. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. I'm headed out to the Rocky Mountains. If any of you guys are listeners, listen in Colorado, let me know where we should meet up for the game. I would like to watch the game with some Bulldog fans.
There's a guy that is a State fan. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, if you're out there listening, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, but I just remember him on the message board when I was at 247. I'm pretty sure he owns a restaurant.
Oh.
In Colorado, Denver area, someplace like that.
Somebody let me know where to show up, and I'll be there, and we'll watch.
Yeah, so if you're listening, let Brian know. I apologize, I don't know your name, but just know your screen name.
Yeah.
But I'm almost positive he owns a restaurant out there.
All right, well, we'll see if that's the case. All right.
You go check that out.
We'll do. All right, guys. Have a great weekend, and I will see you on the other side of this. On the 24th. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.